गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्तुतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Let's start with some meditation today. You can sit comfortably. You can take a few slow deep breaths. Now remain still and relaxed. Still and relaxed, then I'm very aware, present. I bring my attention to the surroundings outside, to the surrounding space, akasha. I try just to focus on the space around me. The space around being formless, beginningless and endless, homogeneous, no differences in the space. I'm simply aware of the space. As I'm just focusing on the space, some thought may bubble up in the mind. I think of some object, so the object would be in the space. Where does the object come from? It comes within my thought, so within the awareness, it bubbles up. and then eventually resolves, I'm back to just the space. Just the space, just I'm aware. Nothing in particular, I'm simply aware then. When the object isn't there, I'm simply aware. While it's there, I'm still aware. Every aspect of the object that comes to the mind, I'm aware of it. So like a wave in the mind, wave in the awareness if you want. And after the thought goes, the object goes, I'm simply aware. Whole time there's just the awareness with some idea, nama-rupa, some perception and conception. I say the object is this type of object, that's the name, the thought. And it has some form. But really, is it separate from the awareness? Is it something else? Or is it just something that seems to appear within my awareness? So the mind brings up all the differences, different objects, different labels. From the awareness perspective, it's all the same. Simply aware. So observing through the lens of the mind brings all the differences due to conditioning. And dropping the lens of the mind, it's all the same awareness. Continue, as usual, we chant the first verse each time in the beginning. You can always be ready with it, part by part. Vedantardindimastattvam. Vedantardindimastattvam. Ekam udghoshayantiyat. Ekam udghoshayantiyat. Astam purastat tat. Tejaha astam purastat tat tejaha dakshinamurti sanghitam dakshinamurti sanghitam. This one verse is worth remembering because it's the first, and then the essence of this whole thing is captured in the first verse like this. So in any case, as we'd mentioned, that this text is like you can take just one of the verses or a few together like this to chew on, to reflect on. And the analogy we gave, like a bunch of grapes, is very good because some of them are together. Like when you have a whole bunch of grapes and you just tear a small part off, they're like four or five of them are sitting together because they're in that same small branch. And right now we got into, there are these few that we've gone through the last few weeks, including today's, are like on that same little branch. So they're all talking about name, form, about differences. That's what it's talking about. So that little cluster we've been dealing with. So today's dealing with the same cluster. So this is today's number 71. That's where we reached. That's page 34, yeah? So we'll read part by part. Abheda darshanam mokshaha. Abheda darshanam mokshaha. Samsaro bheda darshanaha. Samsaro bheda darshanaha. Sarva vedanta sarva vedanta siddhantaha. Sarva vedanta siddhantaha. Iti vedanta dindimaha. Iti vedanta dindimaha. So in English, the translation given here is, the vision of non-difference liberates the person, whereas taking the division to be correct pushes the person into the life of becoming. This is the established truth of the concluding portions of the Vedas, declares Vedanta. So, life of becoming, samsara. Samsara, the things with the Sanskrit words, the meaning is in the etymology. So the more you study Sanskrit, the more you see how the meaning comes from the etymology itself. Samsara samyak sarati, that which moves very well, meaning moves a lot. So as one very great master says, it means it's a sorry-go-round, not a merry-go-round. Because a merry-go-round, it spins very nicely. You want to stop, you stop and get, you say, tell your friend I'm a little dizzy, you stop, you get off. But here, you want to stop, you can't get off. So it's a sorry-go-round. But something that is moving constantly, nonstop, that's why moving very well. Something else moves, a car moves well, but okay moves because eventually it'll stop. A machine you have, it functions, but it'll stop. But this one is very good. It's not better than the German clock. German clock will work for 200 years, 300 years, and 1,000 years and stop. But this one, so that's life of becoming, going to the next and the next. So in any case, so it's saying the differentiation, bheda darshanam, seeing things as different, is that's the crux that it's talking about. Not seeing beyond the differences, it says, is the vision of Vedanta, what Vedanta is talking about. And seeing the differences and taking them, especially taking them as concrete. Seeing the differences is one thing. Like, for instance, you know, the examples we'd given, the classical example, the jewelry shop, the person that comes in to buy something is seeing all the different forms, wanting to decide which one because of the design, whereas the owner is just seeing gold. For them, it's all gold. They sell, you know, they prefer to sell more because it weighs more, meaning they'll get more money. For them, it's just gold, the amount of gold. So the differences compared to seeing beyond the differences. So Vedanta learning, see beyond the differences. So actually, one thing about this then is, whatever differences I see beyond, I free myself from that. Because, for example, you know, we can give so many examples. When you're seeing the difference between things, then you have the problem there. Because then those differences start binding you. That then you get what's called FOMO, right? I see differences. I want to be here, but not there. Oh no, what am I going to do? I can't be there. I feel bad. My friend got to go, you know. I didn't get to go there, right? So I see. So I want to have all the experiences, all the differences are there. This is one thing that happens. So one classical example showing about these differences is in Ramayana. One of the main things, all the texts, they're in order to teach lessons. Again, people take the texts as interesting stories, and they want to also, from spiritual text, find, societal teachings and many other things, moral teachings there, they can be good too and everything, but the deeper essence is the important thing, cultural things. All these things are fine. Devotion, that's good. But to see the deeper teachings, that's the most important thing. So in Ramayana, look, Lord Rama, he's the prince. He is going to become the king. His coronation is going to be very soon. But then instead of the coronation, then, because of the vow his father had, okay, so he has to go to the forest instead, banished, go to the forest for 14 years like this. So imagine you or me, okay, we're going to have a nice new position at work, looking forward to it. It's going to happen next week. They already gave the announcement, and then we go the next day. No, sorry, we're having cutbacks. You have to leave. How would we feel? So for him, sameness. Same. First of all, of course, he also stands for dharma, to teach us dharma. Father's word. Father didn't want him to stick to the word, even was very hurt, but he said, no, it's your word. We won't break your word. I have to do this. And also, he sees it equally. Being king equal, being the, having to go live in the forest, being banished for 14 years, same. So didn't see the differences between this. Later, when he's in the forest, after he leaves the forest, after some time, Bharat, his son, his brother, who is, made to be king in the meantime, then he comes. He wants to beg him to come back. Lakshman, the other brother who's with Rama, he's very angry and all, and he says, "No, you don't. Let's hear him out." And people are angry. Kaikeyi, there are three mothers, right? One of them, because the king has three wives. Very angry. And he says, he treats her like mother. When he comes back later as mother, doesn't see any difference between the mothers. To show seeing things equally, this is the thing. And one thing about this is, the more we understand, it should project in our life. Because if I say, yes, I'm the one consciousness, everything is just within my awareness, but this person is a rascal I don't like, but this is a wonderful person, I like this one very much. This one I'll get angry at, but this one, like this. I was going to give one example, but I'll give you a different one first, then go to this. The Swami Tattiranandji was here. One time he went to somebody's house. In India, they go for bhiksha, people bring them, invite them, they feed them, and then some question answer like this. Other people come and questions, and because, teacher comes, they get to learn something, some wisdom. So he's at the person's house, and in India, hierarchical society, so there's a servant in the house. So she comes and brings the coffee. And either the coffee spilled or the cup broke, something like this, and the owner got very angry and scolded her and everything. And after that, you have to be more aware, don't be clumsy like this. So he told Swami Tattvinanaji, said, I'm not right, I have to be more present. He said, listen, she's a conscious being like you or me, like this. So you should learn to treat her with respect. So you should, as punishment, you should do, 100 malas japa or whatever he said like this for that. You're the one who should learn like this, like that. So it's not seeing the differences in this way. He also says, there the driver will bring him, whether a hired driver or the people that invite him. There, they'll keep the driver aside or sit, somewhere in the corner there, maybe give some food on the side like this. He says, for bhiksha is at their house, he says, good. The driver should sit at the table, give him a good plate, like give me a nice plate, feed him the same time. Like this, why see the differences? So these examples just pop in my mind now, but I wanted to give example for me right here and now in this course, because you're sitting here, you're in place, there are many people, 50, 60 people all in the course. So what happens is it's very easy for the mind to start seeing differences. That's what the mind likes to do. you know, it's necessary, of course. This food is good for me, this isn't, that I need. This one isn't agreeable to my system. For practical things, that's needed, of course. You know, all the animals, plants, humans, they're conscious beings. That doesn't mean I'm going to go sit and, you know, I'm going to go hug the lion in the zoo, and that doesn't mean I'll do that, conscious being, but, you know, I have to be practical too, right? Like this. So here's an interesting thing. One person in charge, there's a vehicle we can take to go, main thing to go, do laundries or an errand here. So there's a key, one person in charge, elderly man. Mostly are elderly people here. Those are the people who have time to come for 5 weeks. So he's in charge of it. Now, a few of us that go on Monday for the laundry, he's not around, we can't find him, this. So, you know, somehow we get the key, we've gotten the key in time, each time we needed to go, but this isn't happening. So in my mind, I noticed the other day, you know, some sort of negativity builds up because of this. What's the big deal? The person, maybe they're not the best at arranging it or something. Somebody has to coordinate, okay, so somebody's doing it. So what happened was he wasn't here Monday. Monday's our day off, no classes. So he wasn't here Monday, so I kept the key from when we went, and I said, okay, next day I'll give it to him. So then lunch, he was here. Okay, so I said, I'll go to my room in this, where my room is, he can pick it up. Then I was going, and I said, you know, why am I having him come? He's much elderly in this. I just went right back to the diner and gave him, and I saw how this judgmentalism is coming up in my own mind. So I made sure to try not to think of him like this. And when I see him, say hello, how's everything this? And he's very sweet, very smiling, very nice, very friendly. So just because probably nothing had changed in him, just my own mind, my own projection. Even let's say he's grumpy or something like this. So what? There's a chance for me to look beyond those things, because otherwise my mind will get caught up in these things. So this differentiation, we have to learn to see beyond, because that's binding me. Because the person is the same person. My idea about him is starting to build some trouble in my mind. So that's where this bheda darshanam, seeing things as separate, different, splintered vision, that's coming from my mind and binds me. So that's a very important, if I want to see there's just one, that's the thing that is, you know, catching me. So this is what I have to learn to see beyond these things. Now, what happens in Vedanta, then the Shruti, the text, like this, is pointing it out. The class teacher will point out. But these are things I have to take, I have to look into. Because I can have I have notebooks full of very good notes, or scribble notes. Hear many talks in this. But the thing is, if I don't take and look at it and understand, get to some understanding, then it remains as an idea like this. I can say, my guru, I've gone to these few masters, they're very good teachers, blah, blah, they know. But then I remain the same for many years. Nothing changed, meaning that I haven't looked into it. So in the end, because the truth isn't something that somebody can put nicely, put in this box, give to you, okay, now you have the truth. If it could be done like that, it would be done like that. Why not? You know, the masters are gifted to everybody. Swami Vivekanandaji, just before he left his body, he said in the morning he wished he can go to every person and tell them they're Brahman, they're the infinite. So, you know, wanting, but he wants to tell, but then the person has to know themselves like this. I have to see it myself. So if he could tell everybody, but he can't, you can't make the person see it. So in the end, that's why it's vichara, inquiry, it's self-inquiry. This gives the tool how to look at it, you know, what to look at. It gives the tool, but then I have to look into it. Nobody else can look into it. You know, we get the insight. Yes, I'm aware. Everything appears within the awareness disappears. It doesn't have substance, just the aware. It's all just the awareness which I am behind it, space-like awareness. Very good. But then I have to look into it. A little insight, then it makes a difference for me, like this. So this is a very important thing like this. in this way. Because in the end, what frees, as we said, is I see that it's one presence. I'm that one presence. There isn't me and you, there's one presence. And then all the differentiations the mind is making, like this. Because if you think about it, like when we sat thinking of the space, think of space, where are you? There's just one. If you look at it closely, there's one awareness, space-like awareness. I'm one awareness. What splintering it is just my ideas, my conditioning. So I say, this is me, this is not me. Which part is me? The sensation of the body. Where's the sensation of the body? It's within your awareness. If you feel it or don't feel it, you're the same awareness. So where's that separation? The ideas in the mind. This is in the mind, this is not. Well, what do you mean? Everything you experience is in your mind. So the difference is like this. We are, in the end, are created in the mind, so at least the simpler ones, at least, we should start seeing beyond first. If we can't see beyond that, then to see how the mind is splintering and separating things. This is very important for us to see, like this. There's one thing also, when we separate also, one of the ways I separate, there's two separations. One separation is me and not me. That's one separation. This is me, this is not me. Other is this is mine and not mine. The mine and not mine is a very interesting one. There's one teacher, she says very nicely, she doesn't say mine and not mine. She says mine and not mine yet, because I want to obtain everything. Very nice insight. So in any case, there's like this. There's a line where I say on this side it's mine, on that side it's not mine. Now, I have all this stuff on this side that's mine. Am I content? Maybe a little bit, but not fully content. Some of the time, but a lot of time not content. Then I have the idea there's something or some things on the other side of the line. If I bring them from there to this side of the line, then I'll be content, I'll be okay. So I put a lot of effort. I bring something to this side of the line. Okay, now it's okay. But pretty soon, again, not okay. So that idea that I'll bring things to this side, that side that's going to do it, is I'm differentiating between mine, not mine, and then it causes all the trouble. So I have to get rid of that line. Of course, I get rid of the line. You know, this is the house I stay, you know, my house, you know, I can say this is the house that I stay in, this is the car that I use. So you can just say, use the language, use my house, my car, if you want. You understand, it's just nothing really belongs to you. But okay, so it doesn't make for practical purposes, I use things, no problem. But the thing is, I understand that either I have just understand that nothing is mine in this world. What's yours? Any moment, anything can be taken away, you say it's yours. What do you mean it's yours? Right? You have a car. Somebody took it. Police never found it. It's yours. What do you mean it was yours? You didn't notice that you didn't pay a bill or something. Okay. They confiscated. What can you do? Like this. Look, there in Eastern Europe, what happened, where things some decades ago flipped to be communist. Somebody had a nice house. Finished. You have these few rooms. The rest belong to other people. The government said done. What can you do about it? So what do you mean yours? So you understand nothing is mine. Then you're free. What is mine? Or what some of the monks say, they understand everything is mine. Everything is mine. What's the problem? Doesn't mean they take it, but everything is as good as being mine. Because I'm at one with everything, so there's no problem like this. So in any case, so this is I and not I. That maybe takes a little more insight, but mine and not mine is very practical, because mine is just a convention, which we know that there's no guarantee. You know, there isn't such a thing. It's just an idea in the mind that it's mine. The body itself, I say body, me, but I say, okay, I'm not the body. Body is mine. It's also not mine. What do you mean? Right? Because I can do what I want with it, I think. but it doesn't start cooperating when some of the time, right? Like this. I want the body to stay young, but to stay young? No. I want it to stay healthy, but does it always stay healthy? I want to keep it, but then, you know, the Lord Yama says it's, you know, Lord Yama doesn't say, okay, on September 25th, 2055 at 7:15 p.m. I'm coming to take the body away, take you away. No, just you're gone, right? Says, okay, body's not yours anymore. You're being evicted, right? No notice. So the thing, how do you say it's mine? So this is the thing with mine and not mine, that division, I should understand, right? I should understand that, how otherwise it's controlling me. That if the more I see this, that frees me because, okay, I have something. I'm going to worry about what'll happen. Oh no, I have it. What'll happen if it's gone? Yeah, it's temporarily very good. It's useful. When it'll be gone, it'll be gone. So mine, not mine problem, less than. I really want to get something, it'll be useful, I can't get it. Okay, what to do? You know, not supposed to be. So this way it makes a difference. And we have to start looking at that, start looking at it more and more to see beyond that. Because that differentiation, first of all, it's causing my samsara, my anxiety, right, my worry, like this. So this is where this is at. Now, one way that this is also looked at, there's a very nice illustration that's given. Very, very nice. Is in the, this probably still happens till this day, some places in India, but used to be more common like this. When there's a certain festival, certain time of year, now there's a time to go, they say now's the holy day, holy time. Now people go and bathe in the river, holy place, like this. So what they do some of the time is, for people's safety, they take some bamboo sticks and they tie them around in order to close off a certain area on the river, right? Certain area in Ganga. This is the bathing ghat. This is the place to bathe. We also, you know, in lakes or things. We're in here in our country also, you go and then they rope off a certain area because then the lifeguard can just watch that area so kids can swim there so that, you know, outside it they have a certain area so they can watch and be aware. So they're also, the police can be there, be aware, so that way there can be safety to be in that area. So they bathe in that area. So the bamboo is put there to break off. This is the bathing area, right? Now, what happens? Evening comes, everybody finished the whole festival, everybody went. Now what do the police do or the organizers do? They go, they cut the ropes that held that bamboo in place, and the bamboo sticks will just flow down the river. Now where's the separation between the river and the bathing area? So that separation was, there's no real separation, just these sticks were there to show this is the bathing area, that's not the bathing area. So this is what in Vedanta said, this is me, this is not me. This separation, the ego is the small area, the rest is the big area, you want to say the world or the God, the rest. But then I rope off a certain area, say this one is the other. But really that, where's that separation? It's that separation is just an idea in the mind. This is what Vedanta is saying. That separation is a concept. It's not factual like this. Now, if you take him from the physical perspective, where's your separation, you and the world? Every moment, material is going in, becoming the body. Every moment, material is going away from the body. The body's not separate from everything. How is it separate in that way? Where's the separation there? It's like saying this wave is separate from the ocean. Which part? The wave is constantly changing. It's not separate. There's no real separation from the whole. Go to energy level, even more you won't see a separation in this way. So this idea, it's an idea like this that I'm separate because I'm aware. And then when you take body, yes, body I see, of the body I feel. So I feel something, I say this is me. What I don't feel is not me like this. If your arm becomes numb, is it you or not you? Like this. You know, God forbid I lose a limb or something. Is that me or not me? Where's the me? Where's the not me? Like this. So, and again, we said the body is within the awareness, not vice versa. So body is within the awareness. Now, as long as I keep the separation also, samsara, life of being, becoming, of not never ending ups and downs will be there. So I say there's the God created the world, and the God is sitting somewhere there in the heaven, and the world is here. Then that separation, then that makes a total separation. There's the God there, the world there. God is totally separate from the world. Now the God is limited because the God is there and not here, right? Where the God is in a very specific place, just the temple that I like to go to, not the other guy's temple, like this. You know? So the God in and through everything. So what? Otherwise, it's not the God. It has to be in and through everything. So the God will be what's the presence in and through everything. If it's just through some things, this is a godly person in this person, but this person is more of a rascal, not in that person. What does it mean? Okay, maybe certain qualities more, it's more, I can see it easier. The person's more kind, so I see more divine qualities. Okay, fine, some manifestation. But substantially, otherwise you're limiting the God. Poor God, we're limiting. Like this. So to fold the God and world into one is not too hard to see. You say, okay, the God is what's infinite, unchanging, so in and through everything. How can it not be? So how can it not be in and through everything? It's like watch the movie, and you'll say in the movie, there's the hero, the heroine, the light is through that, but this is a villain. The light of the movie can't be through behind that one. What do you mean? Same light is projecting all of them. It's not projecting one and not the other, right? You can't separate it like this, the one light in this way. Now you'll say there's the God and there's me. I'm this poor little one. There's that whole God there, like this. You'll separate like that. As long as that separation is there, then poor me, I'm trying to struggle to find the God. Why am I like this? And then there's the nice story that says, okay, so you work very hard, you do a lot of good deeds, and so you get to the heaven. So you're very happy you get to the heaven. Oh, I'm so fortunate. And of course, the God in the heavens can be the God. You worship Vishnu, so it'll be Vishnu. You worship Shiva, you worship Christ, it'll be in that form because it's your mind. So I go to heaven, Vishnu's there. I'm very happy. But then I see that I get, you know, this small room, somebody else gets a bigger, fancier room there. Or we all get to go and sit in the presence of the God, but what happens is I get to sit in the 20th row because I was a pretty good person, but somebody who is an NBA player did a lot of great service and they get a seat right in front of me and they're 7'5", and so I very hard for me to creak my neck around to see the beautiful figure of the God. So when the God is separate, it causes a lot of issues, and I remain with all my issues, and I remain, oh, please, God, help me like this. So that separation causes the problems. Now, one thing is this, is when God is the other, I take the God as the other, the infinite unchanging as the other, then I'm creating a separation there. Then I'm something limited. Now, where is that God? I feel the presence of God. Oh, there's the God, this. What do you mean? If I feel it as something else, where is that God sitting? Isn't that God sitting within your own awareness? Within your own awareness, then where else would it be? This is something I noticed years back, because I would do puja, worship every day for many years. Then I'd feel, okay, you do, there's some presence. In the altar, I feel there's some presence. Then after some time, I'd notice, hey, look, I'm aware I'm present. I'm feeling some presence. How can that presence be separate from my presence if it's something, I'm aware of it, so it's within my presence. How can I think it's something else outside there? The fact that I feel something means within my awareness, so meaning it's within my own mind, within my own awareness. It's not something separate from it. If it was separate from it, how could it be within the scope of my awareness? And I'm looking for, okay, I want peace. So I want to find what is peace, meaning what is like the space in their meditation, unchanging, not limited. Now, as the body, yes, I'm limited. No matter what you do, body is limited, right? The mind, no matter how great a mind, it's still limited. No mind will know everything. Not possible, because the mind is, it can grasp so much like this, and it's changing. But then as awareness, what shape does your awareness have, right? What size does your awareness have? Shape, I'm aware within the awareness of the shape. Size, within the awareness of the size. There's no sense there in size, shape, qualities to the awareness, right? It doesn't make sense, because any quality, I'm aware that quality is within the awareness. So where's the limitation of the awareness? Find it. You can't find the quality of the limitations. So isn't that amazing? As the awareness, what problem does awareness have? Right? Body feels very good. I'm aware of that. It's within the awareness. Now my body has some pain. Yeah, it's within the awareness, the pain within the awareness. My mind feels very good. Where is that? Within the awareness. My mind feels a little down now. Okay, where is that? Within the awareness. So those come and go within the awareness, but where the awareness is constant, doesn't come and go. That's why we call it Chidakasha. This external space we call Bhutakasha, the material space, meaning the physical space, subtlest part of the physical creation, you can say. And then the Chidakasha is the space of awareness, more like space like awareness. Because, but in any case, so where the whole space, you're aware of the space, where's that space sitting that you're aware of within your awareness? So if I have any concept of the God, it's going to be within my awareness. Concept of world, where will it be? In my awareness. Any concept of world will be in your awareness. No, there's some planet so far away in this you read about now you didn't know before. Where's the concept of it? In your awareness, like this. You can't have it outside of the awareness. So literally in the end, the awareness itself, awareful being that I am, that one is, there's no separation, no differences in it. Again, we said the mind is labeling, separating. Mind is chipping things apart. You're just present. No problem. So that's what the Vedanta is saying, the Abheda Darshanam, seeing beyond the differences, that's the vision of Vedanta. And that one, what is that vision? It is that there is, as the awareness, no differences. No differences in the awareness itself. The differences are perceptual and conceptual, like this. And the Bheda Darshanam is the samsara will never end. One difference brings to another, where does it end? Right? No end in sight then. So this. And then it's saying, this is the vision that is from all the Upanishads. This is what the Upanishads are teaching in various ways, various angles, helping just see it, for us to see it. Because again, as we said, I hear these things, but I have to look into. I have to turn it up. I have to inquire, because it's not something I can go and get. Anything you get, you got it, meaning you experience within your awareness. It came within your awareness. It's there for some other time. Then it's gone from your awareness. But you're still there. Awareness still there. So it's something I have to look into, what's already there. Not something somewhere else that I will get from somewhere else. I'll get it from somewhere else. It'll come for some time. It'll go elsewhere too. Like this. Like this. But the mind is so conditioned. So conditioned. And it's already, no, this is how it is. No, these are differences. It's used to that. So then it takes time to, we have to just look at it differently. It's not time. It's I have to just learn how to see beyond these things. see beyond and not just take those as the essence, the factual thing. Appearances like this, some temporary thing like this. So this is a lot of what's being pointed out here. Now, one thing that also happens is that some people then they'll say, well, as if I try to look at this in this way, what about my loved ones, my family? If I have vairagya, dispassion, then I won't have, how will I have love for them? I don't want to let go of them like this. So first of all, letting go, what do you mean let go? Are they in your pocket that you're holding on to? Is that love holding on to? I'll hold on to. You have to be in front of me every day for 1 hour and act in a certain way that's pleasing to me, then I love you. That's not the love. So the love that we usually are talking about is, yes, there is some love, but then there is some emotion, there's expectation, there's attachment mixed in with it. So that's not the pure love. The pure love is regardless of anything else, right? A mother will have love for the child regardless. I'm sure that there's a mother and the son grows up and becomes a criminal, is in prison, the mother still has the love, goes and visits, still has the love for the child, even though did some thing, caused some trouble and not good things, still has the love. She can't not have. So the real love is seeing beyond the differences like this. So if it's because a certain role and I hold on to, that is the role itself I'm projecting too. Because, okay, this is my son or daughter, this is my parent, this is the spouse, these things, yes, but those things, where those relations are, they're in the mind, and there's some, okay, we get along because there's some way for society to get along, so some agreement, so we get along like this, but I hold on to that idea, and then I have an image of the person, not the person itself. So really, I have to see beyond, to really love, it's seeing beyond all these, beyond the differences. Because the thing is, the person is, first of all, the person is a conscious being. Their living is their living. Change, they're going to change. I'm going to change too, like this. Everything changes. So the really love is to see beyond these things, beyond all the differences. That's where it'll be, not in specific relation. Because that relate. What do you mean by relation? The relation's also in my mind, like this. So this is one important thing, because really the more I'll see beyond the differences, the more naturally love will be there, because, okay, it's the same one, same being behind all of these different people, same form, the same one. So actually love would be more natural and spontaneous than the other one. Conditional, the love tainted with the attachment just brings up and down and brings the suffering, because I'm looking at the differences like this. So this is one important point here, that it's not something that people get stuck in. Well, what'll happen then in relation? What about this? If I'm detached and everything, good, the other person will feel even more free if I'm detached. They'll say, they'll say, oh, I really want to go away for a while on this for a month. Okay, please, wonderful, enjoy. Really? You really don't mind? No, you should do what you want. You should be happy like this. No, you should stay because I want you to, I feel insecure. I want you to be here, so I'll feel happier in this then. So in this way, so seeing beyond all these things, this is it. And it's a challenge to take and live up to. That's one other thing we can take is, okay, we have to take this challenge to look beyond these things. And there's things that my mind gets caught up in. Good, let me see how I can look beyond those things, because I'm caught up in those things, so that causes me trouble and makes me also a more troublesome person to others if I'm troubled. So then I... the challenge of let me see beyond these things, right? Beyond all these limited ideas I have. And again, anything, any limitation that we transcend, it frees me so much, because now I'm not caught up by that thing. Like, you know, the silly little thing, just somebody that I see a few times a day here, sits behind me in the talk. One more time, I'm going to have to find him on Monday somehow and get the key so a few of us can go do laundry. Because here there's a septic tank, so they don't have the laundry for everybody. So we have to go into town. You know, here town is tiny, a few houses and a few stores, and that's it in rural Pennsylvania. But okay, so it'll be a little hard to find the key. What's the big deal? So it'll be delayed a little bit to find the key. Okay, big deal. What'll it do? So for this, I'm going to start, you know, trying not looking nice at the person. Say, great, let me look beyond this, because challenge for me. Tomorrow, bigger challenge will come. Somebody will cause a lot of trouble, and I'll have to see beyond that too, and not get caught up in the differences, as my own mind is going to suffer by seeing those differences. So a challenge for me to look beyond them like this, for me to see beyond, and then to really recognize that it's my projection. More projections I remove, the freer I am, because I'm caught up in my own projections. Like one of the ways it's looked at is that I start projecting many different things. Life of becoming, I'm this person, I want to learn these things and become successful in this. I want to move away from that. I want to have these relations. I don't want to have these relations. I want to, on and on. I want to have this recognition, blah, blah. All these ideas keep building up, all these impressions, all these habits I build up, and I'm creating all these threads. Slowly, I'm building this cocoon of my ideas. And the stronger the cocoon, then the stronger it, you know, binds me. So then I'm bound to this own cocoon. My own ego is a cocoon that I bound myself in. And what is that? Just a thread, the cocoon, just like that separation, the river that we talked about. That's my ego, my ideas. When I drop it, oh, how wonderful I feel, right? You do some yoga, you forget all your silly ideas for some time. Oh, how wonderful, wow, that feels so great. But in yoga, when you just do it mechanically through being still, through deep breathing, the thing is it just quiets it down. But then it'll come back up, because the thing with yoga, it mechanically quiets the mind. But all the impressions are still there. And I'm identifying with the quiet mind now. Now, when the quietness is gone, the mind comes back. Now all that nonsense comes back. So it's very good. It's a very good thing, but it won't totally fix the problem. The understanding is needed that I'm not that silly mind. To see beyond that, that's needed. That I'm the awareness, the mind just is some ideas bubbling up in the awareness, they don't have substance. That's what's needed, because otherwise, I have very beautiful meditation, very beautiful yoga. Later in the day, somebody comes, upsets me, something comes, upsets me, now I'm all caught up in it, now all the problems are there. So the thing is, again, not the yoga isn't a wonderful tool, but remember, that doesn't fix the problem, because it doesn't take care of the source of the problem. It's still dealing with the instrument, refining the instrument, but not, so you have a good instrument, can be more present, good. Now use it so that I can look and understand these things. This is where this is, where this lies. So these are a few thoughts about this. So Sarva Vedanta. Vedanta is all, the Upanishads are called Vedanta because they're towards the end of the Vedas, not necessarily the last part, usually towards the end or the end of section of the Veda. But it also is the Vedanta because it means the purport, the end of it, meaning the essence, what is being pointed out. The essence of what the spirituality is about in the end. Other things can be for preparation, but this is the essence, because the essence in the end, peace, oneness. That's the end. And so Vedanta is pointing to that, because anything else will still be part of the life of becoming, another stage and next. Like the Judeo-Christian religions, at least the popular religion, and also in Hinduism, popular religion is Hinduism too, but more Judeo-Christian, the popular belief, you go to the heaven finished, like the simplistic view it gives. But at least in most Eastern thought, Hindu thought, still, yes, the heaven, and there's different heavens to make it more, more possibilities. But it's known you go for some time when it's still a temporary stage, meaning after that it'll also change and you'll leave. Because anything that is life of becoming, you get to something, meaning you'll be there, and that changes, it'll be gone after some time. So somebody's very good, they go to heaven and whatever, they're there for some time, but then when that merit, the currency is done, then have to go elsewhere. So they say, come back and more karma here, like this. So life of becoming never would do it. That's why, again, other things can be preparation, but can't be the end of it, because life of becoming means becoming, meaning changing. And then the only way to go beyond it is to recognize. You can't go to beyond change, because going is change. You can only recognize you're beyond the change, because going beyond the change doesn't make sense, right, like this. So this is Vedanta Dindima, what the Vedanta is, drumming for us to listen to and look into and find that freedom for our own selves. So with this, we'll conclude studying this verse for today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Very good. So thank you for joining my small reflection session, Mananam. I enjoy reflecting on these things. Hope that you do too. And then we'll continue next week.
Thank you, Rajan Manji.